Hey, this is Journey Back Home, a podcast for returnees, those in transition, and the just curious.
We're your hosts, Bookie O
and Jamila Zaria,
two girls who packed up life abroad and moved back to Nigeria.
Why? Honestly, we're still figuring it out.
Every week, we will spill on the real stuff.
Culture shocks, money talk, career pivots, starting over, and all the chaos in between.
So whether you're planning your move,
already here,
or just here for the vibe, there's room for you on this journey.
This is Journey Back Home. Let's get into it.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Journey Back Home. So today, we're talking all about navigating careers and creating opportunities for yourself. Mm-hmm. So for me, moving back, obviously, we know already that I did my NYC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when I came back, I was already working in London in recruitment and I was applying for a placement job in Nigeria for my NYC.
Mm-hmm.
So during NYC, you have to work somewhere for 1 year. So I was trying to look for that for myself from here, well, from the UK, so that it would be something that I believed was befitted for the career path I wanted to go in or wanted to explore. So I knew I wanted to work in marketing. So what I did was I asked people that I knew that lived here if they knew any companies that were hiring corpers, and I got my own job. So I actually found my own job, and it was, I don't know if I should mention it, should I? But yeah, I'll just mention it. I don't know, but it was for Mr. Bushy, actually. So, and I was working as a digital marketing executive. So it was actually quite a good job. And the reason why it was a good job is because I got it before I actually got into NYC. So if you get into NYC, they kind of just give you any job.
Okay.
And sometimes it won't even be relevant for what you do. It will just be like a random pick, like maybe in a school. And I knew I didn't want that. I knew that I wanted to stay on path. So I actually found my job first. Mm-hmm. And after that, when I finished NYC, I was already looking for jobs.
Okay.
So I went straight into my next job, which was actually in advertising.
Okay.
So I knew I wanted to explore the world of marketing in different areas. So I was just applying, asking people, networking. But we had this conversation before and we were saying that a lot of the jobs that you find in Nigeria is based on who you know. So the two jobs that I did get was actually based on who I knew. So I had to network my way into it. So I will suggest, ask people that you know,
that live here, that could help you in any way, shape or form. Because you're right. I think
you could also apply on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a very, very, very good, great platform, actually. But I would say before you move here, build a portfolio. Build, like, what are you good at? Start building that up and start networking with Nigerians in the diaspora because they always have connections here.
Look, I've come with no job. So know that there isn't a one fit all path. Like, yes, we do recommend doing all these things, but I'm living proof. I came here on vibes and inshallah.
But you have a husband that has also got...
Yeah, he's got a job. Yes.
And he's going to support you while you try to figure it out.
But I've come with no job. That's just the truth of it all.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different, I think, for single ladies that come in.
Okay.
I would not, like, it's like for you.
You think it's
wonderful. But for a single lady,
moving
to Nigeria,
For me,
with no job, please don't do that, too. I beg. Don't do that. Because you will find yourself in situations that you don't
want to be in.
Yeah, and I find that, like, because I've heard stories and I know of people that came here with no job, nothing, and they had to go back because they found themselves in situations looking for money, needing money, and doing things that are wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that Nigeria will pressure you, especially when you're looking for money. It will pressure you into the wrong hands.
Yeah.
So you don't want to end up being a liability or for yourself or for others.
Yeah.
So just be prepared. Have some sort of financial backing.
Yeah. Yes,
even if you're coming here with no job, have savings, have money, a way to live.
Live without needing someone or having to put yourself in compromising things that you wouldn't want to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. So I will not make my...
Your situation is different, very different. Married woman. But we love that for you.
But also with, like, even you said, like, working for the company you worked, was that a Nigerian company or was that an international company?
Yeah, so Mr. Bush is actually an international company. So that was my NYC job.
And was the pay relatively good or better? Like, so, would you say Nigerian companies pay you more or less?
Okay, so here's the thing. I went in as a corpa, so they were always going to pay me very peanuts, basically. Okay. I was going to get a lawi, and on top of that...
A lawi
is basically what the government gives you while you're doing NYC. Okay. So it's an allowance. Okay. So at that time, it was 18,800. Yeah.
What do you mean 1,800?
It was basically
1,800. Is that what you're saying?
18,800.
18,800. Yeah. What, a month?
A month. So imagine that corpers were surviving.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. So imagine some actually, so like I said before, when they give you a job, like if the NYC had given me a job, some of them don't even pay you. So I was lucky to find my own job. Paid. Yeah, because I was paid my allowance. Yeah. And then on top of that, my company paid me. Okay. But they only paid me 40K. So all in all, I was earning about 60K. But that at that time, 2015, I was 21. That was good money. Yeah, like that was, it was enough. And I was living under somebody's house. So I didn't have bills to pay for. I was just living like,
a baby girl.
Yeah. So 60K was a lot. Okay. Yeah. But now they've increased it to 70K, but still.
That's, the minimum wage to 70K.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah,
that's nothing. Really nothing.
We've told you, £34 is nothing. I think about what we do with £34 in the UK. Mm-hmm. That goes literally, I guess, in 2 days for public transport.
A day. What about 2 days? Once you've got on the bus, you've done your travel, then you've gone and said, I'm hungry. No, let me enter McDonald's. One day. £34 one day, literally.
Yes.
But I think generally, if you are coming in with a job, the best way would be to get an international job, because they most likely will pay you in foreign currency.
Okay.
They would have structure in their business. Mm-hmm. They should have structure in their business, mm-hmm. but they will have like benefits, and it will just give you a softer landing.
Yeah.
But I've worked for a few Nigerian companies.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say your experience was?
My experience was up and down, to be very honest. One thing is for sure, Nigerian companies will overwork you for...
Okay.
They will work you for that money.
Money, okay.
If they're paying you 50K, you must overwork that 50K. They want that every single cent. Okay. They want to see it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no boundaries. Jeez. There's no barriers. So, like, I remember a time I was working for a company and I would... literally start was 8 mm-hmm. and the finish was 6 mm-hmm. but my boss would already message me by 6 a.m. She would already have messaged me at 6 a.m. mm-hmm. and then in the nighttime she messages me way after the working hours.
She's expecting you to respond.
Of course. Like, if I don't respond, she gets agitated. She would have got... like, she used to get very annoyed. Like, you have to be there...
on call.
Yeah, on call. And then I would be in the office. Sometimes I'll be in the office till about 10 p.m. But that's a normal lifestyle for people in Nigeria. And imagine, I was just earning, like, under 100K in that place. And I was just like, this is too much for what I'm earning. It wasn't worth it.
And I think even as you're saying that, I'm now thinking of, because my sister is currently in China at the moment and she was talking about us, the working culture there.
Yeah.
And they can start work about 10:30, mm-hmm. maybe 11, but they can work right through.
That's exactly through how it is evening. In Nigeria.
And but they even in her company, they have worker beds. So these people can take a nap. But then they have these huge canteens where you can eat these amazing food.
Okay, yeah, they don't do that.
I'm not saying that all of that makes it worth it. So I genuinely believe that those people are still not happy with the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always seen a similarity between Nigerian's working culture and like China's working culture. Like, they do want to work you to the last bone.
100%.
And there is no balance. And like what you're saying about boundaries, I think that's just all of our like expectations from the West.
Yeah.
Where we're like expected all these rights. Where, to be honest, we say expected, it is important to have these rights.
It's a culture.
It's good to create a culture where people are treated well and not felt like this pressure to almost, I guess, be like a puppet to show up to say, look, I'm doing the work. I don't know how that works for people and how you can expect that from someone just because you're paying them. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the comparisons between the two.
Yeah, I think generally there's not much of a working culture here in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. From like my comparison to working in the UK mm-hmm. and working here, my experiences weren't that great. And like, I realized that there was no structure. There weren't like, you couldn't really go to HR and complain and say, like this happened to me mm-hmm. or it's not set up. Yeah. It's not set up, but also it's kind of, it's expected of you to overwork.
Work.
It's expected of you to be early and stay late. It's expected of you to do above and beyond.
I've even heard things like, you know, even how you address your managers and things like that. It's like, and then you can't also leave before they leave. Like if you're, especially if like you're an EA or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of those things, just like, but how much y'all getting paid?
Yeah.
It's like not, for all of this, like, added, and I guess when culture is mixed in into work, because I always notice that, especially like, okay, yes, my mom is Nigerian, but is anybody going to be calling her Ma at her office, like, or auntie? The ones
they call you by your name, yeah.
But obviously, this is a very different culture, so I understand that, you know, that is a form of respect and mm-hmm. calling people man and all those type of things. But I just feel like sometimes some of those things shouldn't be taken into the workplace. Yes, if we're in a gathering and you meet people, mm-hmm. yes, be courteous, be respectful. But in the workplace, I feel like it adds a different dynamic that it also becomes this whole hierarchy, which is already there because you're my boss. But now I'm doing all this. Are you expected to kneel down at some point?
They call it high service. High service is a real thing. Wow. Like, it's literally, you have to do the most just to get noticed or to get seen. And I just feel like the culture here needs to change. That's me being honest. Mm. But what I would suggest is that if you are moving, find a remote job from the UK or from wherever you're coming from and come in with that. That gives you room to... And obviously, the UK, we know the UK and Nigeria have similar times most of the year.
Yeah.
So I think there's maybe once in a year is like 1 hour difference.
Yeah.
So you can actually work those jobs effectively and still show up. Mm-hmm. One thing I know abroad is that they have culture. Once you start at 9, you're definitely finishing at 5 or 6 or whatever. You must take your break. Mm-hmm. Those are important to those companies, but you're not really going to get that here. However, if you do want to just jump right into it and experience it,
go for it.
Find companies that are maybe have international branches mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. have global exposure or have been here for years, because they would have more structure and a culture.
Okay.
So research. Check on LinkedIn, network with people that are in similar industries.
Okay.
And I just think for Nigeria, there are opportunities. Unemployment is very, very high. And I think that's just due to the fact that there are a lot of people in Nigeria and not enough jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But for the diaspora, and this is a conversation that I kind of wanted to like put out there, is that people tend to think that we come with our British accents and from abroad and we can just walk into any company and get a job. It's really not like that at all. I think it's based on skills, experience, mm-hmm. and you as a person. You have to create the opportunities mm-hmm. for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to network and show yourself and your abilities. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I was looking for a job after NYC, and it was a little bit hard. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know people in certain places, I wouldn't have found a job. I probably would have been unemployed right after NYC. Mm-hmm. But lucky for me, before I had come out, I was already applying. Mm-hmm. I was already networking. I was already mm-hmm. asking people. So it's like, be prepared
to put yourself out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
And I guess that's something maybe we don't do as much in the UK, is put ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
That because we already have a system that says, if you apply for this job, you should get it, essentially. Maybe, of course, the job market is not that simple, but you don't have to keep, I guess, selling yourself. Like, I think the more we're seeing, like, selling yourself is, I guess, in the creative industry,
mm-hmm.
With like social media, that you're seeing that avenue of selling your skill set or selling whatever you're good at,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is really apparent here, like Bookie said. And I think that's really fundamental into like Nigerian as a whole, which I think it has a very entrepreneurial mindset. And I think that's something I've always quite admired about people that live in Nigeria, is that beauty of like, they're gonna hustle. They're gonna go for what they want. Mm-hmm. They're gonna, like you've said before, they will have their 9 to 5. But you know, an average Nigerian doesn't just do their 9 to 5. You know that they're doing many things, and I think that's so, like, it's really encouraging for me to be around people who are beyond doing their job, they're striving for their dreams. They're wanting to better themselves. They're just hustling. And, and I think part of it is like you do start to enjoy the hustle as well.
Yes,
you enjoy the fact that, this month I made this. Maybe next month I can make it even more. So even that, I think, adds to the hunger and makes you want more out of your life and what you can even achieve. And I think that's the beauty for me in Nigeria.
I'm an entrepreneur now. Mm-hmm. So I run two businesses. And for me, like, my favorite thing is the hustle spirit.
Yeah.
I know every day, I'm excited to wake up because I know everyone around me is like hungry to make it. Mm-hmm. And like, even my peers and my friends and people I meet, they're so like inspiring. So it pushes me for more. But I feel like being an entrepreneur in Nigeria is a little bit like, I wouldn't say difficult, but it's easier than the UK, definitely, because you can literally wake up one day and open a business, just do your registration, find the laws that are relevant to your company or your industry, and make sure that you're in line with that. But it's easier to wake up and create it, but to run it and maintain sustain it, sustain it and keep making money, it's hard. It's very hard. From staff to down to like
processes
and even the government. I remember I was working for a company and their retail store, and I loved working in that company. But something that I noticed is that they would always get like random bills from the government, from like street bill or like, it was just so random. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that there were so many laws. There were so many bills and laws that you had to abide by. Yeah, but you will only know if you're in the business. So when you're doing it, that's when
you like, will know all these things will start coming up.
So like, I think just do research and find out within your industry, what are the laws, or speak to people
that are already in the industry.
Speak to legal. No, speak to legal. Get a lawyer. Like, it's very important to get a lawyer, an accountant. Speak to them. Like, consult them and see, okay, in Nigeria, I want to do real estate. Like, there was something, when I started real estate, I didn't know that I needed a SCOMO. And that's basically for fraudulent things. So it's something that every business, now I think every business needs to have it. And these are rules and laws that
only pertain to the...
No, actually, now I'm hearing that a lot of other businesses, other than real estate, need it. But it's something that I think in Nigeria, they do often. They wake up and just create
a law.
Yeah. So you have to stay
on top of what the new laws are. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. And we've just like succeeding here, and like obviously the entrepreneur's like spirit that's here. Would you say like you ever feel any pressure or, I don't know, imposter syndrome? I think
I love the hustle because I've always been a hustler from young. Like I remember my first job was when I was 15, and I've had loads of jobs because I'm like always looking for ways to make money. Yeah. So I love that about Nigeria. I came here and that was immediate. That was everywhere.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say is that like you just have to be, you have to kind of close your eyes and just stay focused because there are a lot of people doing what you're doing. And I think now we have social media. People are projecting what they're doing and people are putting that out there. So that sometimes you feel like, am I doing enough? This person is already here. Should I do like a little bit more?
And so it's literally, you've got to like,
stay tunnel vision. Because I've dealt with imposter syndrome. Like starting up as an entrepreneur at a young age, I think I started when I was like 25. I was like, I'm too young. I'm too like, I don't know enough. But I had like 10, I had a lot of experience in what I was doing. I had been doing it for a long time, but I still never felt enough. I think you never really feel enough, but you start anyway. Yeah, you start anyway and you just keep going. Be consistent and surround yourself with people that are also doing what you're doing or friends that will encourage you and keep you pushing because Nigeria is a very, very, very competitive country. Yeah, there are people that are winning in different areas that you may not be, but doesn't mean that you're not going to get there. Like, you have strengths too. So just keep going, stay focused, and yeah, eventually you would get there. I think some of the things that like are blockers for me was, even while I was in companies, while I was working for companies and while I was like as an entrepreneur, is how chauvinistic Nigeria is. Because okay. I think for me, I think certain, like, there's still a tussle with, like, equality. Mm. Men, you can't kind of stand up in front of certain men and say, oh, this and that. But it depends on who you are, but it's looked, it's frowned upon. Like, okay. I think men and women are seen different.
Mm-hmm.
And in your line of business, mm-hmm. you have to be a bold person to enter rooms because it's the men that drive a lot of things in Nigeria. Okay. Yeah. Even when I was like working for, I'll give an example, I was working for a company and my boss, like he really, really favored me. Mm-hmm. And I just think it was the grace of God, but he took me to a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in one meeting one time and my boss always gave me a room to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss was obviously having a meeting mm-hmm. and it was a group of men and they all like, they were talking about something and I had an opinion. Mm-hmm. So I just blurted out. And one of the ogas there, he said, please don't speak here. I was so shocked. Yeah. I was like, what? I didn't even respond. But my boss just said, please don't talk to her like that. And thank God I was protected.
Yeah.
But in a normal situation, it's the norm.
Woman should be seen but not be heard.
Exactly. So you have to have that in mind.
That thick skin to know that that might come up.
100%. Nigeria is tough. There are a lot of opportunities. There's so much to do. Just plan ahead, network, meet the right people and you will definitely get ahead. Stay focused as well.
Yeah, stay focused. But also I would say stay flexible. That would be my advice, is that like you're going to maybe have to pivot. Like what you come in thinking you will do might not always like materialize, but you never know what could, there's something better coming along because I think success is going to look different for everyone.
Yeah.
And what you hope to achieve, I pray you achieve. But also know that there, like you rightly said, the population is so vast that anything can happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just going with that, I think you're fine.
You know? You'll make it.
And
yeah.
Actually, you put in the work, not just like wish upon a star. Put in the work, pray. I'm always going to say pray. And like really be focused on the fact that it could come from anywhere. And like, my mom always tells me, people can wake up tomorrow and have a million in their account just because of an opportunity, one opportunity. So that's what you got to keep like remembering, that the opportunity can come from anywhere.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
For listening.
Tune in to our next episode and follow us on all our platforms.
At Journey Back Home Podcast.